Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you as you guide us through the scriptures. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord of Lords, that we won't live here the same way as we have come. Thank you for new beginning, great and mighty things. Thank you for your goodness flooding us as we hear your word. Lord, we give you all the glory. Thank you as you speak through me. I'm but a child, Lord. Lord, I thank you. As you speak, Lord, we hear your word. And Lord, you flood us with your goodness in our heart to overflowing into every area of our lives. Lord, we give all the glory. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And everyone says amen, hallelujah. Please open once more to Jeremiah chapter 32. And we are going to take it from verse 38. To 41. And please let's go. Are we all there? Please say amen. Jeremiah chapter 32 from verse 38 to 41. Please let's go. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. In Jesus' name, amen. And so again, we see the word of God saying he will do us what? Good. He will do us good. But associated with us enjoying the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living is a great key. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. In other words, we will never leave God. We belong to him permanently. We have chosen him. We have chosen the fear of the Lord in the heart. We have chosen to obey him. We have chosen to love him, to love righteousness, to love goodness. I tell you, another name for goodness is righteousness. Another name for goodness is sinlessness. God is good. Another name for goodness is God, for God is good. And so again, we see that, and they shall be my people. In other words, we are his, never to depart. And I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way. See a great key? One heart and one way. In other words, always going the way of God, never the way of sin, because we have chosen to go the way of God. We have chosen one heart. In other words, one heart filled with his righteousness, filled with God. And so again, we see a great key. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. See the key, the one heart, the one way is associated with the fear of God. And we know that the fear of God is to love righteousness and to hate evil. So you see the fear of God associated with the goodness of God. And the fear of God means we will never depart from him. No matter what we come across or what is against us, we will never depart from God. Even if the Antichrist is made manifest right now, with the fear of God in our heart, we will never depart from God. We know he will look after us. We will not be afraid. And so again, we see verse 39 again, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. Let us understand that the fear of God is not to, tremble as the devils. No, but is to have a reverential fear that if that is the word of God, I will do it immediately. No argument. To hasten to obey the word of God. To be quick to do as God says to do. To humble self and submit to God, who is what? Higher than you and I in all things. In all things. To obey him, to keep his word, to always want to do right. In other words, you love God to live for him. You love righteousness. God is what? Righteousness personified. And so again, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. See how the fear of God, to love righteousness, to always want to obey God, is associated with the good things of God. Verse 40 says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. Please underline that. To do them good. To do us good. In every situation, the Lord will do us good. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes and plans. Please look at that scripture. Romans chapter 9, chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good. You receive the goodness of God. He will do you and I good because we what? We love him. The great key. All things work together for good. For good. To them that what? Love God. Those who love God are those with the fear of God. Another name for the fear of God is the love of God. We have to understand these things. So those with the fear of God in the heart will enjoy. He will do them good. He will do us good. Please let's look at that verse 40 again. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them, no matter the situation, because of the fear of God in your heart, because you love God to obey him, you love righteousness, you have the love of God in your heart, you have chosen to hate evil, you do not like to disobey God, you don't even want to disobey God. He says he will make an everlasting covenant with you, and that he will not turn away from you, no matter the situation you are in. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never what? Fail you. That I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. So you see how the Lord says, with the fear of God in our heart, with the love of God in our heart, with the love of righteousness in our heart, and the hatred for wickedness and evil and sin, he will do us good. We have to understand these things. Please let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and let's look at it. The love of God is also called the fear of God. It is also called the love of righteousness. It is also called the love of goodness. God is good. We have to understand the nature of God. God will not have anything to do with evil. And so we have to choose him. We cannot be in the middle. There is nothing like midpoint. No. We have to understand what the Lord is saying. Romans chapter 8. Please let's read verse 28. Please let's go. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's read it again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we see God is saying the same thing that we have read in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 38 to 41. We have to understand some basic things. We have to understand that the Lord wants his fear in our heart. He wants us to be a people that love him, that love righteousness, that love to obey him, that love the things of God, that love to live a life without sin, so that we can enjoy all the best. We can say that we are really enjoying the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord loves to fill his sons with all of his goodness. He loves to take care of us because we are his sons. He will not withhold any good thing from us. He is good. We have to understand that the Lord is willing to help us. He's willing to sort us out. He's willing to do things for us. Did he not give himself in the place of his son for you and I? If he can do that, then how much more things, you know, help with things in the world, in our day-to-day living? If he did not withhold his son from us, how much more? In fact, please let's drop down to verse 32 of that Romans chapter 8. Please let's go. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? His help is available in every situation. His healing and health, his miracles, everything, favor, everything, his goodness is available for you and I. But we have to understand a great key, the fear of God. We have to be of the people that love God. We have to be a people that love to obey God. Those who love God love to do right, love to do righteousness, and hate what? Evil doing. Hate evil doing. We have to understand these basic things about God. Please let's open to Romans chapter 3, since we're in the book of Romans, and we'll see the same thing. God wants to put his fear. Yes, his spirit is dwelling in the core of our being, in the core of our spirit. But he wants to fill our spirit with the spirit of the fear of God. The Holy Ghost is also called the spirit of the fear of God. And that is where choices come in. As we are looking into the scriptures to understand righteousness, to understand God and his nature, to understand that God hates sin, he hates wickedness, and he loves righteousness, there is a choice for us to make. Do I want to love what God loves and hate what God hates? Or I just want to live anyhow? The choice is yours and mine to make. But let us zero down to verse 10 and read it to verse 18 together. Please, let's go. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. See a great key. The evil way, the sinful way, those things we say, oh, grace covers it. They are the evidences that there's no fear of God in the heart. We have to understand this basic thing. So we see, even in the new, the fear of God is spoken of. The fear of God, and also, so another word for the fear of God is the love of God. We see that in the new. Love God. The love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, isn't it? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. So we see the fear of God called the love of righteousness and the hatred for wickedness. It is also called the love of God. It is spoken of all through the scriptures. And we have to understand that God had promised for you and I to be filled with his fear so that we won't depart from him. And he will also do us good. He will not do good to those who don't have the fear of God in the heart. Those who have the fear of God in the heart, the manifestation is quite clear. Holiness unto our God. Yes, at times we miss it, but because of that fear, we yield and we quickly repent and get back to what? Obeying God. Of course, as long as we are in this flesh, the scripture is quite clear. We will still sin, but not giving excuses for sin. Not hardening our hearts when he says we have done wrong. So we have to understand the difference and the basic thing. So we see that the fear of God is important if we want to enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We have to choose his fear. He sent his son to deliver us from what? The evil kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. We are translated into the kingdom of God's own dear son, the kingdom of light. So in God's kingdom, we cannot walk in the way of darkness. Way of light, way of righteousness is associated with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And so we have to choose the way we want to go. We have chosen to be in his kingdom. Now we need to choose that all of our days on the face of the earth, we will walk according to the way of God. We will allow him to guide us. We will choose to obey him. And that is the key. Please let's open to Psalm 45. Or please let's look at, first of all, Proverbs chapter 8. Maybe many of us, we really don't understand how God hates wickedness, sin. He hates it. He will not look upon sin or evil. He will not come near sin. Sin became a barrier between us and God. And Christ came to remove that sin, the barrier, and made peace. Now we are at peace with God. We can't go the way of sin. We're already delivered from it. And so we now have to choose to go the way of light. As he is light, we have to walk in light. We have to walk according to light because he is light. Proverbs chapter 8, please let's read verse 13 together. Please let's go. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Please, let's go again. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. See, a great key to hate evil. The fear of God is to what? To hate evil, or to hate sin, to hate what? Wickedness. So if you say you love to sin, then there is no fear of God in you. So we see the fear of God is to hate evil. Now the opposite of the fear of God in our heart is pride. If you don't have the fear of God in the heart, then you have pride. You are proud in the heart. You love sin. You love evil to do. We have to understand these things. The opposite of the fear of God in the heart is pride in the heart. The love of evil. You love wickedness. You love to sin. So you see, pride in the heart, we have to guide against a proud heart. A proud heart has no fear of God in the heart. A proud heart loves to sin. But we have seen it, that the heart with the fear of God in it does not like to sin. It hates the evil way. It hates everything about Satan and the satanic way. We have to understand these things. And of course, we know that the opposite of light is what? Darkness. And the opposite of wisdom is what? Foolishness. Also called the fleshly way. Foolish way. Foolishness. If you don't have the wisdom of God, then you have the sensual or the earthly wisdom, also called foolishness. It is also called the fleshly way, way of the flesh, evil way. So it is also called lust of the flesh. You know, the flesh has its own evil desires to do sin. It loves to sin. Those with pride will love to do things against God. But those with the fear of God in their heart love to what? Obey God. And we have to understand flesh or the evil way loves to do what? Evil things. Fleshly ways is the same as what? Evil ways. The flesh is the same as what? Foolishness and evil. The flesh is also called sin. Fleshly ways or what? Sinful ways. Now, when you see flesh, it's not as in flesh as in meat, you know. When we take chicken or beef, we call it meat or flesh. Uh-huh. But the flesh now refers to the evil way, the sinful way, the satanic nature of going against God, disobeying God, being contrary to God always. That is what the evil or the fleshly or the sinful way or darkness. Please, let's open to Psalm 45. So at times when you read the Bible and you see the word flesh, you know, look at how it is written in context. It is referring in most cases to the wickedness, the sinful or the evil nature and his works. Psalm 45, please let's read verses 6 and 7. Please let's go. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Amen. So you see, thou lovest what? Righteousness and hate evil. Referring to the fear of God. The fear of God is to what? Hate evil. And it goes automatically with the love of righteousness. If you love righteousness, then it goes with what? Hatred of evil. If you love wickedness or the evil way, it goes automatically with hatred of righteousness, hatred of God, hatred of everything good. So we see how these things are. But look at the key with the love of righteousness and hatred of wickedness goes the word anointing with the oil of gladness. Anointing with the oil. The oil there represents the glory of God, the Spirit of God. So you see the fear of God, God is associated with us partaking of the goodness of God. The fear of God is associated with us getting all that God is. We enjoy the riches of his goodness in abundance in the land of the living. So we see a great key. Please let's open to Psalm 34. And we see that from the word of God, do we learn what is righteous and what is evil? We have to understand that when the scriptures speaks of righteousness, it is speaking of God's own righteousness. Only God is righteous. As we read in that Romans chapter 3, none is righteous. We don't have righteousness at all. The righteousness we're talking about comes from God. Only God is righteous. That righteousness is only available in God. So I cannot claim to be righteous. Oh yes, I'm righteous, I'm holy. No, I'm fooling myself. I can only say I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, who is Jehovah our righteousness. The righteousness or the good nature or the sinless nature we are talking about is found in God. God is the only source of himself. And so through his word we learn of his righteousness. God and his word are what? One and the same. So if we want to learn of the righteousness of God, we cannot do without the word of God. From the word of God, we understand the righteousness God is talking about. His very own righteousness. And when we start to look into the word of God daily, viewing and knowing as we understand the righteousness of God, he expects us to choose it. God expects us to know of his very own righteousness, to understand his very own righteousness, and then to love his very own righteousness. Love to have it, love to be filled with the righteousness or the sinless nature of God. God is also called righteousness. In other words, love God. Just as you are studying the word of God to understand and know the person of God, love him. Love to have God. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled. How can you hunger and thirst or desire or want the person whom you don't know? So we understand that we have to, through the scriptures, understand the person of God, the righteous God, the righteousness of God. and desire to be filled with that his righteousness. These are things we have to understand. It's not for us to be pretending, oh yes, I'm holy. Oh yes, I don't sin. It means you don't understand God's own righteousness. If you understand God's own righteousness, you will readily accept, righteous ke. I'm nothing. I need his own righteousness. You will want to have his righteousness. You will love his righteousness. And you will choose his very own righteousness. In other words, you have chosen the fear of God because you love righteousness. And you hate sin. You hate wickedness. Even you hate your own sin. It's all there in scriptures that we will hate our own sin. Those with the fear of God, they hate their own sin. Ezekiel chapter 36, I think, it says that. And so we have to understand the understanding, the knowing. Search the scriptures to understand God, to understand righteousness. God is what? Righteousness. And love that righteousness. Don't go seeking your own righteousness. None is righteous. It's filthy rags. It's just hypocrisy. It's the devil fooling us. And in that fooling is to prevent us from knowing God, from knowing his own righteousness. And so again, we see it is good to know the righteousness of God. It is good for us to keep searching the scriptures ourselves. Each one of us individually, we have to keep searching the scriptures to know the righteousness of God, also called the love of God, also called the love of goodness. For God is righteousness, God is love, isn't it? And God is good. Please, let's open to Psalm 34. Are we there? Please, let's read it from verse 8 to 15. Please, let's go. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Amen. It sums up all what we've been saying. The fear of God. You will not lack any good thing. God will shower you and I with his goodness. And the fear of God is made manifest. Don't speak wrong things. Wrong doctrines. Don't speak lies of the enemy. And then depart from what? Doing sin. Depart from evil. In other words, obey God. And so again, we have seen these things. And what is the Lord saying to you and I? His goodness is available. And his righteousness is part of his goodness. For another word for goodness is righteousness. We have to understand that he has brought his righteousness to us so that by his power we can do righteousness. In other words, not sin. So if you don't love righteousness, how can he supply his righteousness? It means we will continue to sin. We have to understand that the Lord loves to fill every one of us with himself. He loves to do us good. And please, we have to understand that when we choose His righteousness, in other words, we have chosen the fear of God, He will fill us with that righteousness. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Please write Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And then shall be filled with what? That righteousness. Please also write Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and also Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 38 and to 41. Also write 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. In all these scriptures, it says there, the love of God, or the love of righteousness, the righteousness of God is what shed abroad in our hearts. And it also says we need to love God. And we also see He wants to put His fear. So we see God loves to put His fear in our hearts. And another name for the fear of God is what? Love of righteousness. Love of God. So we see in these scriptures, they are conveying the same thing. God loves to put His fear in our heart. He loves to put, to fill us with His righteousness. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Now, we have to understand a great key that will help you and I. Please, let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Sorry, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Please, let's read it. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Please, let's go again. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate and then give yourself wholly. In other words, give your heart to the word of God. Give your heart to God. Choose the fear of God with your heart. Give your heart to the word of God. It's not just reading, meditating, giving your heart. Give your heart to do what the word says to do. Give your heart to be what the word says you and I will be. Give your heart to the plans and purposes and the will of God according as it is written. Let your heart be engrossed in the word of God. It's not just memorizing. No, give your heart to God. Give your heart wholly to God according as He is written. Give your heart to the scriptures. It's not only just meditating, but you also give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Who will profit us? It is God, isn't it? That He will fill you and I with Himself. Please, let's open to Mark chapter 4, verse 20, and we'll see the same thing. It is the parable of the sower. So really, it is not playing games or playing church. No. You have to choose to give your heart to the word of God. Give your heart to God, for God and His word are what? One and the same. Choose the word of God to do. And it is referring again to choosing to have the fear of God. Give your heart wholly to the word of God. It's not just coming in, okay, social, we see one another. But no, don't let it be a situation where our lips, they are what? Honoring God, and our hearts are what? Far from Him. We have to understand these basic things. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. Okay. Please, let's read it. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. See? That is the parable of the sower explaining to us the good soil that brought forth fruit, that profited from the word. They hear the word and receive it in the heart. Give your heart wholly to the word of God. We're not playing games. Give your heart wholly to God. Set your heart on the word of God. God and His word are one and the same. And we have to understand these things so that we will profit, and our household and all that pertains to us will profit, because we will receive the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen, amen, amen. And so we have to understand the choosing of these things. We have to understand these basic things. God is good to His own. He wants to build our lives. He wants to do many great things for you and I. And we have to understand there is a great key which we also need to know. In God's kingdom, we have to either choose God or choose the other side according to how we want to live. The choice is ours. Please also write Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Luke 16, verse 13, Revelation 3, verses 14 to 21. Please, let's open to Matthew 6, verse 24. And it says there, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." See the explanation of the fear of God and pride. Pride in the heart or fear of God in the heart. You either love one and hate the other, or you hate one and you love the other. You can't love the two at the same time. It's either you have the fear of God in the heart, or you have pride, proud heart. These are things we need to understand. And of course, God's righteousness, that we will receive the love of righteousness and be filled with righteousness. God is righteousness, filled with Him, is all clear too in scriptures. Please write Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 to 6. You see there, Jehovah, our righteousness. Also write Isaiah chapter 32, verses 15 to 18. He will reign righteousness upon us all. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58, and also Isaiah chapter Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. He speaks of the fear of God there. If you don't have the fear of God, then the curses will come upon that person. Then Isaiah chapter 54, verses 13 to 14. He will teach us and we will be established in his righteousness. And then Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. He will rain righteousness upon us as we sow in righteousness. The word of God is also called the word of his righteousness. Please write that. And let's give him all the glory. I'm just trying to tie up loose ends so that we understand all what God has been teaching us recently. So the fear of God is also called the love of God. It's also called the love of righteousness. It is also called the love of goodness. And we've seen it that with the fear of God in the heart comes the goodness of the Lord, all the good things. He will fill us with his goodness. He will help us in every area of life. We will always enjoy the good things of God, including healing and health, open doors, well-being. He will build our household. We will never lack any good thing because of the fear of God in our heart. Please let's thank God. We are of those that have chosen the fear of God in the heart. We don't want pride in our heart. We don't love evil. We love God. We love righteousness. We love the goodness of God. We have chosen to hate evil. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's thank him. And now it's time for the Holy Communion. We are going to share, please be seated for a while. We are going to share a few things about this Holy Communion so that we will understand God is good to us. We will understand that in everything he wants us to enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He wants us to be filled with his goodness. He loves for us to live good according to his goodness. God visits us daily. He visits his own to check out what we need, to see how we are doing, to help us in everything. We serve a good God. Our God is good. And so where we have to understand is there are things the Lord says we should do as a point of contact for his goodness to us, his work in our lives. He does his good work. God is at work in us both to will and to do of his what? Good pleasure. And he works all things together for good to them that love him. And we have to understand that God is building our lives. He's building us. He's building our homes. Everything pertaining to us. The same way he built the life of Jacob, father of faith, Abraham, even Job. He built his life. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He built the life of Joseph. Every one of the people of faith, we see it in scripture, God builds them and builds their lives. And it's the same thing for you and I. I tell you, the Lord is good to his own. And so we have to understand, when the Lord says to do the Holy Communion, what did he say? Do it in remembrance of me. So, in remembrance of his work in our lives. We have to understand this basic thing. He says to do the Holy Communion in remembrance of his work in our lives. What is the Lord saying? If you look at John chapter 15 from verse 1 to 7, where what? The branches. He is the vine. In other words, we receive of his spirit. He is the word of God. He is also the vine, isn't it? We are the branches joined with him. So we partake of him to build our spirit man. So Jesus is at work by his spirit in our lives. And he says to do this in remembrance of him. Because he's our bread. We drink of his blood and his flesh in the spirit. Because we are the branches, he's the vine. So he says, do this in remembrance of what? Me. That is the me who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And of course, he goes on to make us understand in John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58, that we what? We live by him. John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. And we know Acts chapter 17. Please let's open to that. Verse 28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17, verse 28. And we're also what? His offspring. We are his children. So he says, do this in remembrance of me. We are partakers of his divine nature. So in Holy Communion, we are remembering that he's at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. These are what? Faith contact to God's work in our lives as we are looking into the Word of God daily and praying, and we come to church. We are remembering the work of Christ by his Spirit in our lives. To remember this truth, that all this that Jesus does for us is that we have him. This is what we have in him. And so, as we are studying the word of God daily, he's at work in us by his spirit, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then another instruction he gave is the tithe. I'm telling you, we have to understand he's building our lives, both inside and outside. Please let's open to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2. Please let's read it. Are we there? Okay, please let's go. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Amen. See a key. In him we live and move and have our being. And then we are also what? Under him. He's our temple. We are part of him. He looks after you and I. He builds us up into his house. And please also write Haggai chapter 1. Please, when you get home, read it. But let's open to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And you will see that he's building us into a house. Individually, we are the temple of God, and we are also part of that temple. God is our temple. Please also write Revelations chapter 21, verse 22. And John 17:22-23. So we are one with him. But let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Please, let's go. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Amen. See, we are being built into a what? A spiritual house. We are receiving nourishment from the vine. And then he's also building us into a house. And we are also part of his house in the realm of the spirit. We have to understand these things. All what he says to do, they are point of contact to what God is doing in the realm of the spirit in our lives, pertaining to you and I. If you look in scripture, when the Jews prospers, that is the time they are building, putting in, making sure that the house of God is right. God blesses them in abundance to be a blessing to his house. Anytime they neglect the house of God, disobeying God, things don't go right with them. We have to understand. All these things, they tie. Just as Holy Communion signifies the work of God in our hearts, so also tithe signifies the work of God in our lives physically, making sure everything goes well with us. We have to understand. It's not that God needs our money. No. We have to understand these things. If you want to be filled with his goodness, if you want his goodness to help you on the face of the earth, the things to do is very important. Holy Communion, to remember as a point of contact that we believe his work is ongoing in our heart. The tithe, point of contact, to believe that in the physical he's making things, building us up, helping us in every area of life. Even financially, because the scripture says we enjoy the riches of his glory in abundance, isn't it? Our God shall what? Supply our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have to understand these basic things. So, we are the ones shortchanging ourselves. Things he says to do, we are not doing it. We are what? Arguing about it. Any time that the house of the Lord, we use our heart to make sure things are right, obeying God in the house of God, the people prosper. Look, he's right there from Genesis. When God says to Cain and Abel to bring a specific sacrifice, who did he accept? The person that did his will. Abel. And it's the same thing too. When Esau despised the word of God, did he receive the blessing? And it's the same thing too. If we despise the word of God, we won't receive the blessing. There is nothing he did not do. He cried tears, everything. He wanted the blessing. But you can't despise the word of God and receive the blessing. God and his word are one and the same. Despising the word of God means what? We are despising God. And so you see these two things, tithe and Holy Communion, they signify the work of God in our lives. They signify the work of God in our lives. We have to understand according as it is written. So it is up to you and I if we believe that God will look after us on the face of the earth and that He's at work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, that He will conform us to become as He is even on the face of the earth. Then, you know, you, as we're doing the Holy Communion, we do it with faith, believing God and thanking Him for His work in our lives. And we choose to also bring our tithe with thanksgiving, thanking Him that it is well, we enjoy the riches of His goodness in the land of the living. I tell you, I can't help myself on the face of the earth. I depend on Him. I encourage all of us to do the same thing. Depend on God. He will look after you and I. Please also write Psalm 61, verses 3 to 4. In fact, please let's open to it. Psalm 61. Oh, praise God. Okay. Let's read it, the whole Psalm. Psalm 61. Please let's go. Hear my cry, O my God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Please let's stop there. See a great key. Verse 5. The heritage of those that fear God. We've read it in Jeremiah chapter 32. The goodness. He fills us. Everything. He's good to us. In every area of our lives. In our homes. In everything. The generation of the righteous are what? Blessed. It is always the sound of salvation and rejoicing that is heard in what? In the tabernacle of the righteous. It shall never cease. It shall never depart. This is what the Lord is talking about. See again, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. The heritage of those that fear thy name. Amen, amen. And so, let's prepare our hearts to receive the Holy Communion. We thank God. He has said we should do the Holy Communion in remembrance of Him. We drink His blood in the realm of the Spirit as we hear the Word of God. And we eat His flesh in the realm of the Spirit as we hear the Word of God. I tell you, He's at work in us, both in every area of our lives. God will perfect all that which concerns us, says the scriptures, isn't it? That's because He's working. God is at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He knows all what we will face, and He's already building us, making us strong, helping us. He has supplied help for the troubles we will have in 20 years' time. That is the good God. I tell you, our God is faithful. And so, let's prepare our hearts. Let's rejoice that He's at work in us, and He's looking after us, every area of our lives. Our God is good.